I'm Daniel Lenzia, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studio. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Today, I speak with Chris J. Hanley, Executive Artistic Director of the Alleyway Theater. According to their website, the Alleyway Theater is a professional theater company and collaborative incubator for bold, visceral new theater, fostering the talents of emergent artists from Western New York and beyond, embracing fearlessness, theatricality, humanity, and authenticity. Chris, who has been my friend for over 20 years, and I catch up after the inaugural episode of this podcast from last year. He talks about the mission and vision of the Alleyway and describes the new format of this year's Buffalo Quickies, a short play festival now in its 32nd year. After my conversation with Chris, I have a short chat with the playwrights for this year's festival, including Sean Adeletta, Thomas Bellavigna, Rosa Fernandez, Justin Karcher, Bella Poynton, and Chris Woodworth. So many great conversations. I hope you enjoy them. Hi, I'm here with Chris Hanley, the Executive Artistic Director of the Alleyway Theater. How are you, Chris?
Dan, I am so great. How are you?
I'm really great, too. You know, today for research for our talk today, I realized that you and our interview that we did a year ago was the first episode of Western New York Soundstage. So I listened to that interview at the time, and it's so interesting to kind of think of where you were a year ago and where the Alleyway was a year ago. And so I'm interested if you might be able to share with us some of the evolution or maybe catch us up of what's happened from the last time we spoke in March 2021.
I don't know. I don't remember what was happening a year ago. We were doing plays. We're still doing plays. We continue to, I guess what's happened is we've had a really great busy season this year of producing new works and trying to find the most current, the most exciting, the most theatrical voices that are writing plays right now. And get their plays on our stage. Behind the scenes, we've been doing a lot of, you know, this is sort of the nuts and bolts of it, but we've been doing a lot of grant writing, and we've received some incredible support from New York State and the county and the city to upgrade our facilities, our technical capabilities, our building. And there's some really exciting stuff coming in the next year or however long it takes, but that's really exciting. So it's lots of things happening.
You know, I was even considering in the preparation for the interview, kind of what felt like the grand reopening of the Alleyway last year with, and I sometimes get the title wrong, so please forgive me, but White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
Yep.
And sort of seeing that space, which was, you know, a gorgeous set, but one actor on a stage with a red ladder. And now to kind of think about all we've seen on the Alleyway stage because of tech requirements and because that was what the show required, one kind of person on this unit set, just seeing all of the amazing stuff that's coming out and onto the Alleyway stage now, I find that really amazing. Would you be able to maybe talk us through some of the shifts or changes or evolution that's happened kind of on the stage since the reopening?
Yeah, I mean, it's all really a COVID reality situation. We started the fall of 2021 with White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, because it was a one-person play that required no rehearsal and no director. So it was easy to put up in, it was not easy to put up. It was, there were less COVID requirements or things that were going to cause us problems at that point. And now, as we move toward finishing our season with Kragtar, the American Monster musical, which will be an 11-person musical on stage with a live band of four. And, you know, so over these 2 years, we have shifted what happens on stage truly as we deal still with the realities of COVID, which I don't want to talk about. I don't want to talk about it because we're getting through it and we're trying to, and everybody in town is finding really great ways to continue to do live performance, period. So I'm excited that we're all able to do that.
What I'm seeing every time I go to the Alleyway is that there's a new surprise, there's a new lift, completely, I think, maybe like not related to the pandemic, right? Of like that, when I think about
this sort of white rabbit, red rabbit set of the sort of white walls. And it was a gorgeous set. Thinking about the opening night, which was last night, of the Olive Complex, and like seeing this sort of like fully realized world come to life, I think that that is really what's incredible and what I was hoping maybe we could celebrate for a moment.
Oh, I would love to celebrate it. I think that the people who, I mean, our production team and our technical team and design team, all led by Emma Schimminger, are fantastic and continue to do really, really great work. And I'm really proud of the design work that has happened for these plays. And part of my belief about doing a new play, which I was just talking to the playwright of, to Deborah Yarchin last night, the playwright of Olive Complex, and saying, you know, if Alleyway is going to put our support behind doing this script that we believe is so great, right? Because we get thousands of scripts and we can only produce four. We only have four slots to do new plays each year, if that. And so if we're going to choose a play as one of these four, that means it has to be really, really great because it's already gotten past all of these other barriers, right? But then I want to support it in the best way possible technically, because we want to fully realize the dream that the playwright had in their head of this play. And can you do it on a bare stage? Absolutely. But I don't think that that's, for us, it's not giving the playwright the full support and the realization of their dream. So we are being as creative as possible and figuring out how to make it happen. And it's really important to me to give each play whatever it needs. Some plays require, like this one does, a full wall of books that light up and a second floor apartment and all of those things. And some plays require a ladder. But whatever it needs, that's what we have to provide the playwright.
I was having a conversation at the opening of my last night with an audience member, and they were talking about different Academy Award nominated films. And they brought up The Whale, which is a Samuel D. Hunter sort of penned script. And I said to them, you know that The Whale started in a theater like the Alleyway. And they were sort of shocked and surprised and didn't realize that. But I guess I wanted a reaction from you about that, or just sort of your thoughts on that.
The Whale specifically, I saw that production at Playwrights.
In New York, yeah.
I remember sitting there in that tiny, tiny little theater, and the set was so intricate and so detailed. And I don't know if a real mouse ran across the stage or not, but I swear to God, I feel like a real mouse ran across that stage. But I loved that play, right? And that was how long ago? 12 years ago or more, 15 years ago? And look how many years that has taken. So before that play had its premiere, Sam Hunter wrote that play maybe 10 years before that, and it went through development. Then we're 15 years after that, and it's becoming an Oscar-nominated movie. Same with the Olive Complex. Deborah started writing this 10 years ago. And it takes that long to develop and to get the people behind it and to make the things work and put it all together. And what could happen in the future? That's what I'm excited about, what the stories that we're finding and the stories that we're sharing, that we can launch them into the world and share them with other people. And it doesn't have to be a one and done thing. The things that you see at Alleyway are not one and done. It's not over. Hopefully you will in 5 years say, oh yeah, let's go see the movie of the Olive Complex. I remember seeing the original production on stage when it was being rewritten that night. And I was in the audience to see the first time that that moment happened. That's what's so exciting to me about what we do. That's what I love.
You mentioned sharing stories with audiences. I'm interested to know, how have audiences been responding to the work at the Alleyway?
I was trying to think of something funny to say, but they're loving it. People are really happy. People are coming back. New people are coming. We have lots of people who have never been here before. This weekend, you know, we've been doing four pay what you can performances for all of our new plays to lower that barrier of access so that anybody can come in. And it's a risk thing, right? Because you feel like, I don't know, it's easier to sit home on Netflix, fine. But you can now literally pay $1 to see a brand new piece of theater, or $99 if you want. And people are doing it. And a couple came in this week and said, you know, we had a babysitter. We didn't know what we were going to do. And we saw this advertised. We said, okay, we'll try it. And they took a brochure because they want to come back to see Buffalo Quickies. They want to come back to see Kragtar. They want to come back to see Golden Girls because they were impressed with the work that we're doing. So I think people who have never been here are starting to hear about us again as we come out of the pandemic and remember that we're here. And people who have been coming for 43 years are just as excited to continue to come and know that Alleyway continues to be the place in town to get these new plays.
Alleyway does continue to be the place in town to get these new plays. It also is emerging as a place that has a sense of community. Why is it important at a center that showcases new works to have sort of a built-in community?
Oh, well, I mean, community is part of the theater world. We have, you know, it's community and collaboration and connection. And those three C's, I think, are really important. And community is so important for theater because it's different than sitting at home watching a TV show by yourself in the dark, because you can sit next to somebody and hear them gasp at something that happens or hear them sniffle. They did it. There was a study that was done about audiences sitting and watching a play together. Maybe we talked about this last time. I don't know, because I love this idea. And there was a study and the audience all wore like heart monitors and all of their hearts synced up through the performance and their pulse synced up. And that's what happens in a community as we're sharing a story. So that to me is sort of roundabout way. I don't think I really answered your question, but that's what's exciting about watching a play together. I think to me, what I'm loving that we're starting to find again, coming out of in these last 3 years, is that we're bringing a community together of people who are excited about the work and want to celebrate each other's work.
I really like that. I also feel it's really great in the preview performances, especially if people go, but I think throughout the run of the show, there's usually someone at the show that kind of will come out and hang out in the bar afterwards and talk to people, right? Like the playwright from Olive Complex and the playwright from Burst, and many playwrights are really interested in kind of connecting with people. You are out in the lobby connecting with people after the shows. And it does feel like there's a conversation that is happening after the shows in your new lobby. Is that intentional?
Absolutely. It's so important. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. I want to hear what you have to say. I have big sheets of paper on the wall in my office, and one of them says that the goal when we're choosing a play is that we want the audience to keep thinking about it and have a conversation as they go home. I don't want you to come here and feel like, oh, good, they entertained me and I'm done. Clap, you know, wash my hands and I'm done from it. I want to raise questions. I want the audience to go home and or not be sure of what happened or wonder about that or say, oh, that's actually really interesting. Let's talk about that some more on the drive home. What did you think happened at the end of the play? What happens after the play is over? Theater is about questioning. It's about creating rather than tying things up with a bow. And so the conversations that happen in the lobby after with the artists, with the playwright, with the directors, with the actors, with the designers, you can say, hey, where did that inspiration come from? Or why did you, you know, why did this thing happen on stage? Or what did you think? Or why did you do this? And it makes the audience, it makes us all, doesn't even make us feel, it makes us actually become a community, right? That you are part of it. If you're there, we don't do this for ourselves. We do this for the audience. So come in and be part of it. And that's why the lobby's open after. That's why the bar is open after. Stay and have a drink and chat and think about it. And I love that. It's totally intentional.
This episode is a catch up for us, but also kind of sort of celebrating the upcoming advent of the show called Buffalo Quickies. Buffalo Quickies seems to sort of be an ever evolving theatrical experience, sort of post or sort of, you know, kind of during the pandemic. It was an outdoor sort of festival. Last year, it was a celebration of comedy by different playwrights that were both locally based and kind of globally based. And then this year, it's something different. Could you maybe describe what's going on this year with Quickies? And then maybe think about what's driving the change for Quickies this year and where does it lead?
Yeah, it's hard to describe what's happening with Quickies because when we are recording today on February 16th, we don't know what's happening with Quickies because for the reason that we are asking the playwrights we're putting the quick into Quickies, right? By asking the playwrights in just 1 week to take a secret topic that we're going to give them, which I think I can share with you because it'll be after they get it. So this is, the secret topic is global warming and climate change. And so we are asking the playwrights, six of them, all local to the region, to write a 10-minute play in 1 week based on that alone. And it could be coming from any angle, and we don't know what those plays will be, but we received lots of applications from writers, and we chose the six who we think are going to really give us something exciting in that week and challenge them as writers to take that prompt and give us an interesting story about it. And then, so they'll have a week to write it, and then the directors and actors will have 1 week to put it together. And then it will be on stage. So the whole thing is happening very quickly. And it's in the format of those 24-hour film festivals. So this is not something that has never been done. And it's not something that we're thinking like, oh, we're rushing through it. The point is not that we're rushing through it. The point is that we're creating a set of rules and challenges and guidelines, that great art comes from creating guidelines. If I tell you, Dan, write a play, write me a 10-minute play, your brain sort of explodes, right? And you're like, well, I could do anything. But if I say, write me a 10-minute play about climate change, and you have to use four actors, and you can only use two chairs, now you have some rules, and you can start to create something really exciting. So that's this year. I feel like Buffalo Quickies wants to be reinvented all the time. I think if we get stuck into a routine, oh, to me, it's not exciting. For better or for worse, I want to keep doing, I have to keep challenging myself too, and challenging our artists and our community that we're creating. And so it's fun. I love to just keep thinking of what is the next thing, and how can we do something again? If it's already been done, doing it again, well, that's not as exciting to me as coming up with something new. So this year, this was the new idea of how to do quickies. And I think next year is going to be very different as well. And that's as far as my plan has gotten. I have not gotten past 2024 yet, Dan. I know you want me to know everything, but I don't know everything.
Yeah, it's my job to ask the hard questions. Was there a concerted effort to kind of cast the net locally for local playwrights and local actors?
Yep.
And what was the intention behind it?
There definitely was. We wanted people who are around here. I think it's really important to support. Again, it's about the community, right? So it's important to support the people who are writing plays right here. Sure, I could, and we did last year, find writers from around the country. And this year, like I said, we're changing it up. We do something different. So to me, it was important this year to support local writers for that community purpose. I want people to feel at home at the Alleyway. I want writers in Buffalo to feel like they have an artistic home, like they have a place where, if I'm a playwright in Buffalo or in Western New York, I know that the Alleyway can be my home. You know, I want to share a story. There was a playwright who came to town who I have never met, and was not doing a project here at the Alleyway. It was doing a project at a different theater. And he emailed me the other day and said, hey, my Uber driver told me that you are the person that I should talk to because I'm a playwright. And it turns out that his Uber driver was an actor in town who was bringing this guy from the airport. And you know, as luck would have it, the two of them were in the same car and actually had this conversation, right? So two rarities. And this guy wrote, you know, and he talked to me, and we met for coffee, and we saw his show together, and we had a great time. And that's what's important to me. So now this playwright who's not even from Buffalo feels like the Alleyway can be a home. So certainly the playwrights who are in Buffalo, I want them to feel like they have a home here, and that we can support them in production, and also support them if they want a place to have a cup of coffee, or they want a place to meet with each other, or they need a desk to sit at, to write at. That's what Alleyway is. That's what we can do for our community of playwrights.
We talked a lot about writers and playwrights, but it also is important to know that the Alleyway is casting actors and using designers. It seems like the cast for Quickies is quite large, which is really exciting. I think it's 11.
Yes. Yes, it is.
11 people. Can you talk about some of the decisions behind bringing in such a wide net of people?
Part of it, I think, was technical, that because we only have a week to rehearse, we felt that we didn't want to have, say, four actors having to learn six scripts. So that was just a logistical issue. Again, it's about creating a space where more people can feel like they're at home. We have a couple of actors who are with us doing, maybe they're, I don't know, Mike Starzynski's back, I think, for his 400th year of doing quickies. And then we have actors who have never done quickies before and who were brand new to me when I saw them audition a couple of weeks ago. So they're going to the local Theater Alliance of Buffalo auditions, and they really work because here I am 3 weeks later offering roles to people who I've never met before, but we're really lovely and wonderful performers. I'm excited about the group of people, a very wide range in all ways of actors to tell these stories that we don't know what they're going to be. We wanted to give our playwrights sort of a, you know, a lot of options in who the characters could be in their plays.
It's a big risk to sort of produce a festival where...
it's a big risk to... I'm interrupting. It's a big risk for theater, isn't it? But how fun.
Well, sorry. Right. Right. I wanted to just sort of underscore that. Don't even tell me about the risk, Dan. I know it all. But you're taking this big risk, right? And I'm interested to know what you hope the payoff is by this huge risk of... these plays, new playwrights. I mean, it's new. What would a successful night at Quickies be like for you?
I want to ignore that question. I want to go back to this risk idea. That risk is, for those of you who are not watching the Zoom, Dan is laughing at me here as I ruin his very properly planned interview. Dan and I go way back, and so I feel like I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah, no, we've known each other for over 20 years.
So. Am I allowed to say that we know each other? So, but I do want to say that, like, I don't think it's a risk. I don't think that doing new plays is a risk. I don't think that asking six playwrights to write something in a week and asking 11 actors and three directors to create it together in 1 week is a risk. That's what we do. That's what excites me. And I think that that's why all of these people said yes immediately to doing it, because they felt really excited by it, right? In a theater like Alleyway, where we're not just doing a new script, we are also trying to find ways of doing theater that's new. We're trying to find ways of bringing in audiences that may feel like theater is not for me. Oh, the theater is something that my grandparents did. That's yes, they did. And also it's something for you to do. And the theater at Alleyway really strives to be something that is exciting and accessible and interesting and of the moment. You know, the plays that we are literally, the plays that we are producing have not even been written yet. They're that new. And that to me is so effing exciting, because you don't know what you're going to get. Except if you start to come and you start to see what we're doing, you get a sense of, okay, this is Alleyway's really producing it at a high level, and Alleyway's supporting their playwrights and supporting their actors and paying their actors livable wages and, you know, trying to continue to raise the bar and all of that. So to me, the risk is not about the plays that we put on our stage. I don't feel like we are taking a risk in doing that, because we have curated this group of people and brought this group of people together. Okay, now I'll answer your question. What do you want to know?
You did answer it. You did answer it, right?
You want to know a successful night at the theater? That's it, right?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sort of my Jedi mind trick. I asked the question knowing you would answer it, even though you wouldn't. I have two more questions for you, Chris, here. I found this to be really interesting in reviewing for this interview today. Last year, you said in our interview that you hoped to shine a light in Buffalo on a national scale and bring people in from out of town to burst onto the scene.
What? Did I really?
Yeah. Has this happened since we last spoke?
So we did a play this season called Burst. Ta-da. And we were featured in September on National Public Radio for a production of the Magnolia Ballet that we did. And so, yes, it has happened. I'm going to put something else out into the universe. I want to win the lottery. Just end of story. No. Yeah, we did. And it's exciting. And it for me, it's the first. I always want more, more, more. So it's the first step of continuing to burst onto the scene, of continuing to bring in designers from out of town to burst that bubble, to show us things that are happening in other cities that we could do here. They are doing that. And I think that they're collaborating really well with our incredible community of artists here in Western New York. And we're starting to feel like we're all part of the national community of creating plays, you know, and it's not just that we're here on Main Street and doing our own little thing in our own little corner that nobody, you know, that the other cities are not seeing or hearing about, but now they are. And, you know, yeah, we were one of six theaters represented on National Public Radio on Morning Edition in September. You know, they came to visit us and hear about us because of the work that we're doing. That's really cool. That was really exciting. And we're not stopping. We're going to keep doing it.
So with that being said, last year I asked you this question, and I'm going to ask it again, right, in the hopes that we can speak in another year about quickies and just sort of say, like, hey, like, let's check in and see what language has sort of stuck. But what do you hope for or envision for Alleyway's future, and how can people help?
What did I say last year? I probably said, I don't know, Dan.
No, you said you wanted to shine a light in Buffalo on a national scale and bring people in from out of town to burst onto the scene.
I want to continue doing that. I want to continue to find plays that resonate with our audience, that really talk to people right here, right now, that feel exciting, and I want to surprise people. You know, if you have seen this season, I think that next season, the way that it's sort of starting to shape up right now is going to be a big surprise. It's going to have a very different emotional sort of feeling. I think that I'm leaning, maybe personally, I'm coming out of my pandemic depression and not gravitating towards such stories of people trying to understand themselves. I think there's going to be a lot of humor coming up next year, which is fun and also a big challenge. How can people help? You can show up. Come to a Pay What You Can preview. If you're not ready to lay down $40 to see the play, come for $4. You are so important to the production of new work. When the playwright is there, they want to hear your reaction. Deborah, who was here this week, heard lots of different audiences responding lots of different ways to her play, and takes that information to understand what's working or what's not working. And it's so important. And so to me, the number one thing that you can do right now listening is to keep listening to Dan, but do it on your way to the Alleyway.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Tickets are available 24 hours a day at alleyway.com. But thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the arts and caring about it. And, you know, we have such a great arts community in Buffalo. It's so full, and there's so much to do, and I think it's hard at times to choose, you know, what we're gonna do, you know. And in the summers, like, you know, we have so many festivals, or I could go get so many options in so many ways, and keep trying the things that you haven't tried, keep checking them off your list, get a map, and make sure you go to all the theaters and see everybody's work. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. It was great talking to you.
Likewise.
That didn't seem real. You have an MFA. It was nice to talk to you. Likewise. Oh, great end of the interview. I'm leaving Dan, this in.
Dan, I'm so glad to talk to you. And next year, listen, Dan, next year, I don't want you to be quiet as I'm answering questions. I want you to interrupt me more, because I like, in real life, everybody, we just keep finishing each other's sentences.
So, you hear me answer questions? This is me, the favorite part of all the listeners of this section right here. No, I'm
and I love talking
I'm a serious to you. Interviewer right now. That's the role I'm playing.
Dan, I love it. I love talking to you, and I'm grateful for the time that we share together always.
First, I spoke with Bella Poynton. So much sort of English and theater knowledge. I'm wondering, would you please describe, or try to describe, when you knew that you wanted to be a writer?
You know, I came to the theater in the way that many people often come to the theater, which was as an actor. So I trained at a conservatory for my undergrad at the Boston University School of Theater. And while I was there, I was highly encouraged by a professor there, the late, great John Lipsky. He really saw this kind of like other aspect of my identity. And he was like, you know, you're also a playwright. And you kind of like react in the way, like it's almost like an insult. But of course, he didn't mean it that way. Over the years, I started to realize that not only was he right, but that it was perhaps even more satisfying to me to write plays. So I think I knew very early on I was writing plays when I was like 12 and 13, but just never thought that that was a thing that people could do. As I just thought you had to be an actor. And so I guess I started really thinking about it seriously when I first arrived there. So when I was about 18.
What's exciting about Alleyway Quickies, and how will you approach this unique opportunity?
I love Alleyway Quickies. I've been involved with Alleyway Quickies before many times. And it's just a really fantastic community event where you get some people from outside Buffalo, some writers from inside Buffalo. Some years they have a theme, some years they don't. And some years they do something kind of wild and outlandish, and some years it's more traditional. And it's just a really wonderful opportunity for the artists in the city, playwrights and actors and designers, to kind of all come together. There's an ensemble of actors, several of whom always come back to Quickies, which is always like a treat. One of them is Kate Olina, who has done Quickies many times, and she was like a teacher of mine back at Mickles many years ago, so that's always kind of joyful, and I love her. And it's just great to, you know, work with people again who you've worked with before. So it's just this joyful community event that I always look forward to reconnect with people.
Buffalo has a fantastic art scene. Why do you think the arts flourish in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, like, I have to like take off my professor hat and be like, wow, it's a blue collar town and blah, 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 blah. And for the history of, yeah.
Or wear it. If you want to wear your professor hat, wear your professor hat. You can prep many hats.
I think that Buffalo has a really beautiful theater community based both on history and also on kind of geography. So outside of New York City, there, you know, it's kind of a far distance from New York City, right? So it makes sense that being this far from New York City and maybe not being able to access that all the time, that a theater community in Buffalo would develop to become very strong and kind of robust. It would be different if we were like 2 hours away from New York, right? And maybe not so as robust as it is. But also at the same time, I feel like the theater in Buffalo is really varied and diverse and kind of, it doesn't follow like trends. Like everyone's kind of like doing their own thing because either they don't care and they're just like, we want to do what we want to do. We want to do what's fun. We want to do what's cool. And I find that sometimes in the bigger cities, like whatever's trendy is trendy and like that's it for a decade. You know, I find that in Buffalo, you can really find whatever you're looking for, which in a way is really refreshing and lovely, and like there's just something for everyone.
If someone were hesitant to see an evening of new plays, what would you tell them? Or let's just say specifically, if they were like, I don't know about Alleyway Quickies, being someone who's been involved with it and writing it for this time, why would you say, no, you have to go?
So if someone is not interested in new plays, then we disagree on a fundamental level.
No, they're interested. No, person X is somewhat interested. They're just a little nervous.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think the fantastic thing about the art form of the short play is one, it tells you a super interesting, compelling, message-driven story in a really, really short amount of time. And at the same time, if you don't like it, it'll be over soon. I find that like they're their own art form, right? They're like not really a one act, they're not definitely not a full length, and you can explore interesting human scenarios, interesting human stories that maybe aren't enough for a full length but are also true at the same time. So that's why I think they're really, really useful as teaching tools and exercises, but also just as theater. They're a completely different genre and they address kind of issues and ideas that maybe couldn't be done in a full length, but are still resonant. So,
finally, just I always like to end my interviews by asking the subject, is there anything else you'd like to share or add or say about Buffalo or Alleyway's Quickies?
Buffalo theater scene is awesome. It is vibrant. It is growing. It is extremely diverse and varied. I love Alleyway's focus on new work, on new plays, on taking risks. I am super excited to see the work of my fellow playwrights this year. I absolutely love the new directions that Alleyway has been going in the past few years. It's really exciting to see, and I can't wait to get started.
I am so excited to see your play and so excited that we got to connect in this way. I hope we get to connect kind of in real space or even work together, because you're such an interesting artist and such a delight to talk to you. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh gosh, thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Next, I connected with Chris Woodworth.
What prompted you to apply for this year's Alleyway Quickies?
One of my colleagues here at Hobart and William Smith Colleges sent me the call for submissions. He knew that playwriting had become my main focus in recent years and thought it looked like something that might intrigue me. I produce an event here in Geneva called Finger Lakes Photo Plays, and it is different, but has some similarities. Our tagline for Finger Lakes Photo Plays is brand new plays in a night and a day. And so our common prompt is a photograph by a local photographer. And we bring together folks on a Saturday afternoon. And then by Sunday night, we have a show all inspired by the same photo. So I've subjected a lot of other people to these high pressure writing, rehearsing, directing, performing opportunities. I've done it once myself as a director, but this will be the first time I've written high stakes under time constraints like this.
So the prompt has not been released yet. How are you dealing with or mitigating some of the maybe pressure and stress or excitement that you might be feeling about the project?
Honestly, anytime I start to speculate what it could be, I try to wipe my mind so that I don't come in with any preconceived idea. I've never been to the Alleyway Theater, so I think that helps that I'm not even picturing the space yet. I've been following them online for some time and have been really excited by the work that they produce. They seem like a home for new writing, which is really thrilling. So mostly just abject denial that it's happening has been how I've been dealing with it.
What do you hope that audiences take away after a night at Buffalo Quickies?
I hope that audiences leave Buffalo Quickies with a recognition of how astounding local regional theater artists are. I think often local folks don't get the same recognition as touring productions and Broadway shows that people, you know, make a pilgrimage to see. And all of that is wonderful, of course. But we have so many extraordinary theater artists in Western New York, actors, directors, playwrights, designers, and I think an evening like this, where you're going to see so many different people's voices showcased, is a wonderful reminder of how talented this area is. Not to toot my own horn, but, you know, I did get picked.
I'm going to switch up this question just because, where is Geneva?
We're in the Finger Lakes. So we're about 40 minutes east of Rochester.
Oh, okay, great. Please excuse my ignorance. I'm about an hour south of Buffalo in Fredonia.
Yeah. So, you know, we are sometimes designated as Western New York, Central New York, Finger Lakes, Greater Rochester area. It really depends on who is doing the categorizing and what sort of agenda they have in terms of demarcating their geography.
Well, even in all those areas, it really feels like there is a fantastic art scene. Why do you think that the arts flourish in Western New York?
I think people are recognizing that Western New York and the Finger Lakes region are beautiful places to live. And part of what makes communities wonderful to live in are vibrant arts communities. Particularly in the last few years, I think we all now have a special appreciation for what it means to be able to come together in community with others. Theater, like no other art form, provides that opportunity. And because so many people have chosen this as their home, whether they've spent generations here or maybe went away and came back or are discovering this community for the first time, there's such a richness to the geography, to the history. There's so many sources of inspiration in the landscape and the stories of people who live here now and in the past.
I was very inspired. If you wouldn't mind, would you just describe maybe what your writing style is like, or how would you categorize it? If someone said, "What's a play by you about?" What would you say?
Oh gosh, yeah. I because you have to do this, right? You apply for grants, or you...
I know. I feel so cruel when I ask questions like that, but
yeah,
it's like, so artists don't like to be in boxes, and then as an artist, I say, "Hey, put yourself in this box."
Yeah, yeah. So I would say, for me, I describe my writing as acts of archival topography. I'm deeply inspired by the landscape and geography and climate of the Finger Lakes region. And that often makes an appearance in my work. And I am madly, desperately, and forever in love with history and historical artifacts and books and texts. And so there is a materiality. There is often paper of some sort that makes its way into the worlds of my plays as a kind of resonant prop or metaphor.
Oh, I'm so excited. Now that sounds wonderful. I'm just picturing like tables and books. It's wonderful. Finally, is there anything else you'd like to share? This is sort of, I always like to ask this question at the end of an interview. If you feel like there's something you'd like to express or say to our audience, or just about the experience or anything like that.
Well, I mean, I'm really excited to be able to dive in and to get to meet so many folks in a theater community that I don't know well. I know Bella Poynton. We have been very involved in a national theater organization together for many years. And I have seen her perform as an actor on an occasion. And when I saw her name on the list, I was kind of gobsmacked that I get to have my name on a list next to hers, because I have such respect and awe for her work as a playwright. So I feel like I get to play with the cool kids with this project.
Thank you. That's great. I directed Burst at the Alleyway earlier in the year, and it's just so amazing to see sort of this community of people kind of expanding and coming together. And it's a really exciting time. And I look, not only am I a director, I'm also a subscriber. So I will see you there. But I'm really excited about your work. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day. Good luck with the rest of your interviews.
I really enjoyed speaking to Rosa Fernandez, my next interview. So Rosa, would you describe when you knew you wanted to be a writer? Was there a specific story or a specific moment where you knew, I have to write?
I don't think I had any awareness, and which is very telling of my whole life. I don't think I had the awareness as much as I remember a moment that where my sister said, "You've always been a storyteller." And just like very matter-of-factly, like, "Yeah, duh, I've always known this about you." And that was really, I think, like an aha moment for me, which is, you know, like, very typical. Most recently, I think I can attribute it to, I think that I wasn't seeing the stories that I wanted to see being told. And I didn't see the people that I wanted represented on stage being represented. So I think that I made that decision to, oh, well, I guess if there aren't those stories, maybe I should write them. It wasn't an exact moment. I think I just did it out of pure necessity. And then my sister sort of illuminated that about, you know, just you know, that sibling thing that you pick up on stuff and other gifts and other people that you don't pick up on in yourself.
What's exciting about Alleyway Quickies, and how are you finding yourself approaching this unique opportunity?
You know, it's so funny. I'm so removed from the process just because I was one of, like, I was a late addition. I think that another playwright dropped out. And so luckily I have a good relationship with Chris. I've worked with Alleyway in the past in the capacity of a playwright. And he was like, "Hey, we had somebody drop out. Would you like to do this thing?" Just because I have that pre-existing relationship with Chris, I said yes, because I was entering to Tech Week. So it's chaos down here. And the premise was really, it has always been exciting to me. I've just never considered myself a 10-minute playwright at all, like ever. I think I've written one out of necessity. And I've been very adamant when people have contacted me, like, "Yeah, no, I'm not really into the 10-minute plays." But this was a really fun exercise for me. It was a little bit torturous because you just never know if inspiration is gonna show up. And I'm sure you're no stranger to this too, but I was going into a very stressful week leading up into it, because we opened a show this week.
And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. And I was like, I said yes, because I was like, you know, I want to get paid for my writing. So I should take opportunities when they present themselves. So I really treated it as a experiment. And I really let myself explore what I wanted to explore in the moment. And I let myself do something that I usually don't do as a writer, which is, I think, give too much of myself away in my writing. And so what it ended up being was a very emotional and kind of tortured piece of writing, but it was what I was feeling in the moment. So very fun experiment, but it was nice to just get the prompt and just let myself kind of go there, you know, rather than I think that whenever we present our writing, especially playwrights are always told, you never show people the first draft, because it's you telling yourself the story, and then you get the opportunity to rewrite it. And obviously I didn't have that privilege during this process. So I was very much like, oh God, I don't know what this is. This might be terrible, but you know, I'm learning slowly but surely to just trust that, you know, even if it's not great, you know, it's going to get me closer to the thing that I have to be writing. So
what do you hope audiences take away from A Night of Cookies?
What's exciting to me about it is you're going to find something that you like, right? We hope, right? I love the idea of just having, you know, smaller plays that people can consume and find something that resonates with them. I'm a big fan of inclusivity, of, you know, everybody having a seat at the table. And what I like about the concept of a festival like this is that it really lends itself to providing a little something for everybody. So I do think that that will be the case with this festival, which makes me excited about it.
If someone were hesitant to see an evening of new plays, right, or they were like, I don't know, I'm a little scared of, you know, reading something or trying something new, what would you say to them?
You know, theater has been around forever. And, you know, there's something about it. There's something that can't be replicated. So I think it's a good thing to take a risk on, especially now. I mean, I think that a lot of us are probably coming out of the last few years. I think we're questioning, you know, everything that we've done thus far and where we want to go. And if you're worried or concerned about taking a risk on something new, that should be the least of your worries. Because, you know, it's an evening of theater, and what's the worst that can happen, right? So yeah, I think it's an exciting new thing to try. Fantastic. And unlike anything else, it's different from Netflix, it's different from the movies, it's different. It's very different. Yeah.
Thank you. Those are my questions, but I always like to ask before I finish an interview, is there anything that you feel was left unsaid or anything that you'd like to share with the listeners before we go?
No, I think I said everything, but like I just want to, I think, highlight like the work that Alleyway has been doing recently has been really exciting and very different and very much the direction that I think that Buffalo Theater should be going in. I think that since Chris took leadership, I've never gotten interest from any theater company in the area to do my work, to ask about my work, to say, hey, what are you working on? Chris is like the only one that has been asking those questions to playwrights in this community. And, you know, if we're talking about supporting Buffalo, if we're talking about creating talent locally, and not, you know, we have a responsibility to produce it too. And I have to say, I really feel like a lot of other theater companies are just not interested. They're doing all the stuff that you see over and over again. They're doing, no shade to any of these plays, but like the ones that you see all the time, you see Proof, you see How I Learned to Drive, and they're all wonderful plays, but there's plenty of living playwrights that are not getting produced. And there's a lot of them in this area. So it's exciting to see, I think, that more festivals like this, more opportunities for local playwrights to have a voice, to have a presence. It's exciting to see that coming from a theater company.
Rosa, thank you so much for your generosity. I can't wait to see your play. I was so excited when Chris told me, I said, who's the next playwright? And he said, it's Rosa. I said, yes. So I'm so excited. I can't wait to see your work. And thanks so much for this interview. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Now, I speak to Thomas Bellavigna. So how would you describe when you knew that you wanted to be a writer?
I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of shows in the past few years, and I've picked up aspects of them that I've really enjoyed. I guess my interest in writing stemmed from adapting text. The first thing I did, I adapted Doll's House, and I made it a little bit more psychological, more focused through Nora's eyes. And I've moved on, and I'm currently working on a Tempest and a Macbeth. So I started, I guess, with older texts, and adapting them to more political times and certain lenses. More recently, I've started writing my own works, and it comes from a want to showcase societal issues to audiences so that they can come up with their own decisions and hopefully make an impact on our world.
What do you hope audiences take away after a night at Buffalo Quickies?
I'm definitely hoping that they find some enjoyment in it, that it, at some level it's entertaining, but that they're able to pick up on the specifics of each play and what the message is, what the theme is, and hopefully they'll come out wanting to make a change in their habits to an extent.
Have you ever worked to or been at the Alleyway Theater before?
I've been to the Alleyway. I saw Burst and Magnolia Ballet in the fall, which were fantastic. And just last night, I saw the Aleph Complex, which was also amazing. But I have never worked for the Alleyway, no.
Well, you are now. I mean, what's I'm interested to know what's exciting about sort of getting this prompt and thinking, oh, I'm working at the Alleyway.
It was really exciting last night opening the program for the Aleph Complex and seeing my name in like the ad for the Quickies. All of the work I've done, I've kind of self-produced. So it's been really cool just to have that experience. And getting the prompt last night, mine just started turning. This morning, I already wrote a few pages and I'm trying to, I had a concept at the moment I heard the theme, the topic. So I wanted to see what I could do with it. And it's been a lot of fun already. And I still have a week ahead of me.
Could you maybe let us in the sort of when this is kind of out, the prompt will be out. And so is there any sort of images or, I mean, and you can be as coy as you want with sort of your early writing process of maybe what's coming up for you or what you're sort of excited by. And obviously audiences in sort of a new play, this could obviously change. But what was your first sort of image or initial reaction?
My first instinct really with the prompt was thinking like how broad climate change is as an issue. I was immediately thinking, like, how can I narrow that down to like a smaller, more intimate, like relatable story? Because that's the type of theater I prefer. The first thought was, this is going to be hard to write. And I went off with that. And I started thinking, and I was like, I've admired Chekhov for a while, and I really loved The Seagull, and I wanted to do something with that style. So the first thing I wrote was a passage kind of adapting The Seagull into like a messed up mind, and then kind of coming out of that and having the character who I've just at the moment is just called Writer. I don't know if I'll give them a name or not, but Writer is struggling to find what they want to say because they have so many things that they want to say. So that's where I am right now.
Thomas, finally, I'm sure like with your particular peer group, right, you wrote this play and some of them might be on the fence in terms of attending Alleyway's Quickies. What would you say to convince them to come and see your play and the plays of the other writers?
I think sometimes we see a lot of theater that has already been created and has already been produced, and we enjoy it and we know what it is, or we have an expectation of it. And we come in, maybe a small change has occurred here and there in what we're used to seeing if we've already seen it before. And I think a lot of times some people are not afraid, but they're not used to going to see something that they're not sure of, that they don't know anything about. And I think it's interesting because in this scenario, as a writer, we don't know anything. We have a week to figure out what it is. And I think a lot of people will relate to that experience of like, this is my first time experiencing this, but it's also like kind of new, it's current. I can relate to that sense of this is different because the whole experience is really seemed like it's gonna be something really unique.
But Hold on a second here. I'm going to push back on that and say, as an actor, do you think that what you just said would get your friends to be like, I'm coming to see that?
Everything I've seen at the Alleyway is really well done. And the fact that I have an opportunity to write for them is really exciting. And I'm excited to share my thoughts. And I know the other playwrights are as well. I was talking to a few of them last night. And everyone has some really, really cool ideas, some really out of the box ideas with such a small amount of time, such a small like amount of stuff to work with. I think we're going to have to be out of the box, and I think it's going to be really cool to see.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we end our interview today?
I'm from Brooklyn, so I feel like the opportunities are, there might be more opportunities in New York City, but they're harder to get access to. So I wasn't expecting to get this opportunity when I submitted an excerpt of my play, which was a separate play that I had wrote a few years ago now. So when Chris took a chance on me, when I got that email of like, you have this opportunity, I was just filled with joy, really. And I hope that that's how people will come out of the quickies as well, of like filled with joy and hope.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Thomas, thank you so much for chatting today. I appreciate your time very much.
Next up, I speak to Sean Adeletta.
So, Sean, when did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
It was a while back. I think I first started writing things when I was a little kid. You know, you just write stories or like little comic strips when you're in class. But when I got to high school, I wrote my first 10-minute play. And from there, it was, I really enjoyed writing as something just to do in my free time until I got to college, where I took writing classes with one of my professors, Daniel Lenzian. And it all kind of kickstarted from there, when writing turns into an actual thing where it's like, oh no, I could do this. This seems like something that I want to pursue and enjoy pursuing as like a career option, like something that I enjoy pursuing.
What prompted you to apply for Alleyway Quickies?
It's very funny. I just haphazardly threw in a couple pages of dialogue that I was working on because I was sitting with my friend just in her apartment, and we were chatting as I was using her laundry machine to do my laundry. And she just casually mentioned that the Buffalo Quickies were a thing. And I said, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. And she's like, you only got to send in 3 pages of dialogue. And I'm like, I probably have that lying around somewhere. Yeah, I'll just send it in and whatever. And I didn't think twice about it. And then I got an email. It was really shocking and really exciting.
You used the word exciting. What is exciting about Alleyway Quickies, and how are you going to approach this unique opportunity?
It's so exciting because it is a quickie. It's just like a little burst of flavor in this little 10-minute play that is, write it in a week and, you know, throw it out the window onto a stage. I'm very excited to not only write and see the show, but also just like balancing it with my normal life is going to be one of the harder things. And I'm very excited to see what this little pressure cooker of a week is like.
You've been really involved with the Alleyway this year. Why is it important for people to support the Alleyway?
I mean, because it's all about new plays. And sure, you know, you could see Death of a Salesman again, or, you know, some other big Broadway, Phantom of the Opera, you could see that. But new works are kind of what propels theater, because if there was no more new works, the industry would die, except for, of course, the 80,000 Broadway shows that will run until the end of time. But new plays and new theater is what brings life to, like, more smaller places like Buffalo and, you know, like places in Ohio and Missouri. They run on new plays.
Sean, you've been working a lot in Buffalo over the last year, and you can tell our listeners maybe what they see you in or what they will see you in. Why do you think Buffalo has such a special and unique art scene?
I don't know. I don't currently live in Buffalo, so all my experiences with it have been like kind of secondhand driving up. But it truly is unique in that there's so many theaters all currently doing their own thing. And they're also like interconnected. Everyone knows each other and like is friendly and nice. And it's that kind of special connection that I've only witnessed, you know, in part from being new to it. But from looking in, it looks very, very special and something to truly behold.
You have received the prompt for the performance. Can you let us in maybe on a little bit of what has inspired you about it, or, you know, where you think your writing is right now? And obviously that can change in new play development, but what are you thinking of? What images did elicit from you?
Yeah, the prompt was global warming, climate change, climate justice. all of that stuff. And we also pulled a prop that was important to use within the play. And the prop I drew was an inhaler. And the churning of my brain during this car ride home, it was really something to behold for the other drivers on the street. it was a lot of listening to TED Talks and all this stuff until like 2 a.m., just really, really going to town in this Google Docs drive, sort of brainstorming a ton of possibilities. And there's an infinite amount of ways it can go. As I imagine with all the other playwrights, you know, it can be very symbolic. It could be abstract. It could be just super realistic. It could be anything. But I think I'm verging more towards a realism sort of side, you know, little fun things in it.
Well, we can't wait to see it. That really ends my questions. Before we go, is there anything that you feel has been left unsaid or that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes. Come see Romeo and Juliet at Shakespeare in Delaware Park, where I'll be playing Balthazar. Come see it. Come see it. It's going to be great. Summer Shakespeare in the Park type deal.
Awesome. And we'll see you at the alleyway for these shows. Thank you so much for your time, Sean.
Of course. Thank you.
Next up was Buffalo playwright Justin Karcher. Justin, you are such a prolific writer, really known in the Buffalo area as a writer. How would you describe your writing?
I mean, I would consider it instantaneous. It's poetic, surreal to some extent. It's definitely, I would say, love letters to my community. Love letters to strangers, love letters to Buffalo in general.
What would a successful night of Buffalo Quickies or your play look like? I know the prompts haven't come out yet, but a successful night, Quickies is over, people are going out into the alleyway. What's a successful night look like for you?
I guess as a baseline, a successful night would be that everyone who is in attendance, they go down the street to matinee and then talk about the plays while having a drink or non-alcoholic drink, whatever they drink. But it would be that they go immediately somewhere to have a conversation about the pieces. That would be a success in my book.
Is conversation always important to you about the pieces that you write?
Absolutely. I mean, more so, I do like a conversation. I think all good art, or all successful art, I should say that, or even unsuccessful art, it sparks a conversation of some kind, either someone thinking about the piece, having that inner dialogue or inner conversation, or, you know, they're with a group of people. As long as conversation happens with art, that's a good thing. The last I think any creator wants is indifference.
You have called Buffalo home for many years. Are you a native?
I am born and raised.
Oh, wow. That's great. Buffalo has such a fantastic art scene. Why do you think the arts flourish in Buffalo?
Because at the end of the day, to some extent, I think it is all we have in order to tell the stories of this community. Everyone's an artist. I mean, just kind of waking up and facing the day is art in some way, shape or form. Obviously, Buffalo has had a tremendous amount of strife and sadness and difficulty over the past couple years. I think Buffalo has veered away from being as artistic as I think it can be and should be. I mean, for me, it's always a art town first and like a Bills town second. But I mean, at the end of the day, we only have ourselves to support. And to do that, we need each other's stories. And that kind of flourishes through the arts.
You've mentioned the word support a couple of times. Why is it important that people sort of support independent arts venues?
Because it feels like they're kind of disappearing at a rapid pace, which is very sad. Just kind of walking up and down the streets, it does often feel like a ghost town, no matter what kind of neighborhood you are in the city. I feel venues, theaters are really struggling. I mean, COVID didn't help. And then kind of with everything else, I feel a lot of places are kind of dying. And that is kind of the soul of Buffalo. So it's through these venues, through these artistic places, these cafes, kind of where conversation happens, where community flourishes, where people get together. And a lot of those places are kind of fallen by the wayside. So it's important if you care about the salvation and I guess the liveliness of the city you live in, you should support the venues and the artists who kind of help grow and help tell that community's stories or help enable voices that can.
Fantastic. Those are my questions, but I always like to end an interview by asking, is there anything that you feel has been left unsaid or anything that you'd like to share?
I think those are really good questions. I mean, generally speaking, it'd be great if people come and see the play, kind of just theater and kind of arts across the board. It's kind of a weird, surreal kind of time period because a lot of people just aren't going as much as they used to, you know, and if you like the arts, if you like the city that you call home, if you like strangers and, you know, helping conversation flourish, it's important for you to at least kind of patronize as many places as you can.
Great. Justin, thank you so much for chatting today. It was really nice to speak and connect with you, and thank you for your time and generosity.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of your day.
Well, that is our show for today. I was thrilled to speak to Chris and the playwrights about Alleyway Quickies. How exciting that this festival is in Buffalo, and that it continues to experiment and create new art here in Western New York. Today's show is produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmaker engineered the episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted on buffalorising.com. We'll be back soon with more episodes, where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.